Well, since we don't seem to have the time that you have on your radio show, why don't we get another piece performed by you too, so we make sure we have that.
This is the conclusion of a piece called Chorus Song that's dedicated to our friend Jake Berry, who in fact made his comment about chaos about this piece. It is characteristic of the mass media that the figures in them are all absent, not there, can't be touched. This is also true of books, which were in a sense the first of the mass media. Speaking to G.P. Scratz, I extended this idea to the Catholic mass as well. The mass is still another mass medium, an attempt to reach as many people as possible. At the beginning of the mass, Christ is and remains profoundly absent, has not returned, and the mass is precisely a fictional assertion that this is not the case, that Christ is in fact present. Faith equals the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, fiction.
The possibility that her disastrous relationships with men arise out of the desire to prove her mother right. Men are such beasts.
Too bad you didn't come with us to the restaurant. We found it with a little trouble and had just been seated when suddenly in pops Ishmael and Callahan and Alta and everybody. So we all sat down together and ate too much Italian food and had a very nice time.
What crazy birds.
These crows who saw cut slice.
The sound and good old branch.
Of the cross where they have perched.
The name Cohan still has magic. The mere mention of it was enough to unleash a stream of talk from the two of them.
Allied with leaves.
It might have been docks. It might have been rocks.
Your
it might have been surely the school of hard knocks. She might have detested all grandfather thoughts,
or
declared that she never could bear to wear frocks,
walk,
but crossing her leotard,
furioso,
she didn't wear socks,
spasm,
squinting her eyes till she looked like
seen.
A fox,
no
ignoring my comment on bagels and locks.
Multiplied.
She whispered obliquely,
no
the subject
and
is locks. We sat in the
myself.
Coffee house, breathing the air to the casual observer. We had
to compare
with Cambridge and Springer,
not one of my kisses went astray.
Fixing upon me her vacuous stare and assuming an attitude born of despair,
she rather ungracefully fell from her chair.
The
get
they
broken,
tell me
to love which
blocks,
stands,
and
wavering in a doorway, speaking words which I can neither hear nor love,
that I'm
you are
old and
endless,
very well
sorrowful,
read,
everything
often
in nature became
to
fragmented
that
before
what
him,
could she
Gahan,
have meant
Gahan,
she
good
said,
brother John,
voice that
and tell your sister
wake
Sarah,
the dead,
she found him drowned in Yarrow,
with a
ah, yours man,
to
think of this again, think, 40 years ago,
there
my face in the mirror, the hermeneutical situation, for the letter killeth, but the spirit, the breath, as the wind
11 p.m., paper strewn
they
everywhere.
Say
as I drive by
soil,
the liquor store
bridge,
in my car,
stone.
I notice
old Ireland
two men
is calling.
Who seem to be
thousands of Madrid
each other.
Residents protested
one of them
President
stands
Reagan's
in
visit
front
to Spain
of the open
last
liquor
night
store
by banging on pots and pans
he has
and turning
an
off their
enormous
house
rifle.
I tied
and the other
my drum
is seated
to
on a motorcycle.
My
he is
farewell,
riding the motorcycle as violently
goodbye, love,
in small circles
daughter,
before the man with the rifle.
Blonde, dark,
everything
fair,
seems
sweet,
violent.
Better mild, soft, harsh, fiery.
Articulation of sound.
Memory in the ear.
A substitution.
Of the audible.
For the visible.
To write this day.
To insist.
Upon it.
Jack and Adele Foley performing once again for us. I don't know how to follow that up. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that I have a mountain of questions here, I wouldn't know what to say.
We got a song.
Yeah, you do. And we have about a few more minutes, I'd say, to go here. There's one thing that we need to talk about before I let you get out of town, and that is projective verse. It's been 50 years now since Charles Olson's critical essay, Projective Verse, first published in 1950. And it has had enormous influence, yet as you were pointing out sometime this weekend, few writers claim to write in projective verse. So we're talking about Jerome Rothenberg's anthology, Poems for the Millennium, Volume 2, and it's not even in that, even though there are other essays on poetics. With that in mind, what effect do you think that the essay has had, and do you think we'll see more projective poets in the future?
I think one of the interesting things about, there's also something else that's been happening, which we haven't talked about too much, which is called the new formalism. And that's an interesting thing because it's an attempt to return to formal modes, which in certain ways have never been abandoned, though they've had a bad press often. And William Carlos Williams hated them, etc., so on and so forth. But one of the things that may well happen with projective verse is that within the context of projective verse, at least as McClure does it, not necessarily the way Olson did it, but certainly the way McClure does it, you can do formal modes within that context. You're not limited to the formal modes. You don't have to do it, etc. And I think that people will discover that more and more. One of the things, interestingly, One of the things projective verse does, which Allen Ginsberg referred to as a fine scattering of the mind, is to treat the page as if it were a canvas and allow the words to move all the way around the page. Olson in 1950 is very affected by Jackson Pollock. And he's part of what he's doing in that essay is trying to redefine the page of poetry in the same way that Pollock had redefined the page or the canvas of a painting.
And certainly some of the abstract expressionists were part of the Black Mountain College.
Oh, yes, very much. He was very close to all of that. And Frank O'Hara, who was a New York poet, not a Black Mountain poet, but still involved in this and very close to Olson, wrote a book about Jackson Pollock. So it's an attempt to use the page, and at times in terms of other people, really the whole book, in a way that allows for the fact that reading is a visual experience. Okay, it's a visual experience. Let's do something a little closer to concrete poetry, to pattern poetry. We can do things with that visual aspect. I think that that's going to be increased with the use of the computer. And also, one of the things the new formalists do is to say, well, there's free verse, and then there's formal verse, and that they're in a state of opposition. But in fact, projective verse is precisely a place in which that opposition doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, there's so many more questions we could talk about with this, but what I'd like to hear are a few more haiku, and then you have a song to conclude our proceedings. So why don't we just do that, and let me restate that we're talking with Jack and Adele Foley from Oakland, California, part of our Super Bowl of Poetry, the third annual Super Bowl of Poetry at the Northwest Spoken Word Lab Super Bowl Weekend 2000. Adele?
Okay, I'd like to do another sequence called Childhood Summers. Warm red sand beside a lake so large you could not see the other shore. The shock of bright sunlight emerging from a movie in the afternoon. Caught between two worlds, I blink at the hard blacktop, unsure where I am. Howard Johnson's was a wonderland of hot dogs and ice-cold sodas. As trees rushed past, we counted bottles of beer falling from the walls and traced the movement of bears scaling one mountain to find another. On clear, warm evenings, we scanned the radio dial for far-off voices. Lying on the grass, counting the stars shoot across the crowded night sky. Secret poker games for matchsticks or rubber bands late into the night. Clouds that pierce the moon outside the train window were witches on broomsticks. And then two other single poems. This one was from our hotel room right here in Auburn, Washington. A pale crescent moon shares the sunrise with one cloud. Paint the mountain pink. And finally, for our son Sean, learning to shave, father teaching son. A nick on the jaw, the razor's edge of manhood along the bloodline.
You're talking a little bit about how you write. Why do you write haiku? Tell us about that.
Well, I think I write haiku because you don't have to have a lot of concentrated time to write haiku. You can write haiku anywhere. I write haiku on the back of miscellaneous pieces of paper. Many of them are on the back of bank deposit slips, which are always kind of extra pieces of paper you carry around and in your checkbook. I write them when I'm driving along. I write them on BART. I write them walking down the street. They capture what I see, and more than that, they make me see. I don't write because I see. I see because I write. It's a matter of concentrating, and your attention is different.
We're running really late, so why don't we get right into the song and close the proceedings.
Tell me what can I do? I'm adrift in this world without you. I'm a stamp that's lost all its glue, or an ant drowned in mulligan stew.
So I sit and I handle a pan, an impoverished, now downtrodden man. What a blast, but how quickly it flew. I'm adrift in this world without you.
What a whole lot of fiddle-dee-dee. You're adrift in this world without me. What a kook, what a clod, what a klutz. You are quite certifiably nuts. So I say, take a walk, take a ride. I would rather meet Jekyll and Hyde. I'm a maid who is heaven to see.
And she is.
But you're stuck in this world without me.
Tell me what can I do? You're adrift in this world without you. What a stamp, what a lost, what a klutz.
He is quite certifiably nuts. So I said, take a look, take a ride. And I'd rather meet Jekyll and Hyde.
What a blast, but how quickly it flew.
I'm stuck in this world without, stuck in this world without, stuck in this world without you.
La da 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 da.
Oh my God, what a weekend. It's going to be hard to top this one.
Thanks to Catherine Reynolds for that guitar.
Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Paul. It's been great.
Continued success with your work. Well, what can I say? Two people definitely in love with life. Jack and Adele Foley have been our guests. And if you'd like more information on their work, you can email them, jasfoley@aol.com. We'll have more information on our website at inpeoria.org.